I'm John DiLiberto, and you're hearing the Echoes podcast. And today I've got a wonderful interview with an Australian duo called Lalia. They've got a great new album out. Before we get to our interview, I want to tell you about a new album by Lawson Rollins called 3 Minutes to Midnight. If you fell in love with the sound of Nuevo Flamenco music many years ago, then you should check out guitarist Lawson Rollins. He's a prodigious guitarist working in a multi-culti sound world. He's just released his 7th album, 3 Minutes to Midnight. It's a dozen bite-sized vignettes that he says were inspired by the urgency of the moment, the exhilaration of the speed of sound, the poignancy of the remains of the day, and the mystical power of the number 3. You can go into the mystic with Lawson Rollins on his new album, 3 Minutes to Midnight, available from Amazon, iTunes, and other retailers. And now, here's our interview. You're hearing Echoes, and I'm John DiLiberto. I first discovered the duo Lalia at the turn of the millennium. Their first album, Terra de Sacha, arrived out of nowhere in the mail, and I was instantly enchanted by the cyclical dulcimer melodies and world music textures, from the West African djembe drum to the Australian didgeridoo. But their sound was beyond this world as they created mandala-like journeys. Their last proper album was released in 2002, but now they've finally emerged with a new one called The Middle Way. Speaking on Skype, I entered the world of Lalia. I'm speaking to Lalia on the other side of the world. It's where James McGuire wound up at the end of a global trek, a place he calls
the most remote city in the world. Was the last sort of port of call during the last part of the journey.
James McGuire's journey began in Belfast, Northern Ireland, where he was born in 1964. But he's traveled around the world. He's also traveled through a few musical worlds. He started out playing guitar in rock bands.
Oh God, they were terrible. I was heavily influenced by The Clash, right up until, you know, my late teens.
But another, somewhat opposite influence emerged.
Obviously, Michael Hedges came in the very early 90s. William Ackerman sedated me and sort of, that was beautiful as well. And then when I met Melissa, you know, it's 22 years ago now, and her mother was into Joni Mitchell and the sort of counterculture in the west of America. So she was into the whole San Francisco thing, and she had an auto harp, and so I lifted it, obviously the wrong way, like a guitar, and started playing it, and I just fell in love with it. It's a very limited, for me, a very limited instrument, but at the same time, it sort of encouraged me to actually explore it, you know, a lot further.
A lot further brought him to the Appalachian dulcimer, which he also plays the wrong way, holding it like a guitar.
Well, I tap it. The main sort of technique I use is tapping, which is usually specialist type of instruments for that, such as the Chapman stick. And so I tried to sort of, you know, incorporate that into a more simpler instrument because of the limitations of it. I just found that tapping the instrument with, you know, the left and right hand, tapping on alternate sort of melodies, it just opened up the instrument a lot more to more possibilities.
As I watch them on the Skype screen, James pulls out the dulcimer and plays it acoustically. Then he plays it by tapping. But this is like asking Jimi Hendrix to get a sound with an acoustic guitar. James McGuire's real sound comes when he amplifies the dulcimer and runs it through delays, loops, reverb, and distortion. didn't have any precedent in the dulcimer world for this sound, so he looked elsewhere.
Well, I guess people like Andreas Vollenbeider, to have that sort of chorusy effect, and Tangerine Dream, I guess, the sort of the arpeggios, had a big influence. And I guess I have to say things like The Edge.
James McGuire's wife Melissa wasn't playing music until they met. She picked up the djembe so they could busk and earn their way on trips across Europe.
The djembe was quite popular at that time, and so there were many, many around and many teachers. And I really loved the different sounds that the djembe could come out with, so really deep bass, but also very high, sharp tops. And so it felt quite dynamic as just one drum.
Big attractions during Lalia's busking days was that James would play the Australian didgeridoo simultaneously with the dulcimer. The didgeridoo is a hollowed-out branch that's blown into on one end, creating a deep guttural growl. It was all the rage in the 1980s and 90s, but there is no didge to be found on the new Lalia album, The Middle Way.
Me and the didge are not friends anymore. I gave it up because I just found what we were doing was a little bit circus, you know. I mean, look at the guy playing a didge and a dulcimer at the same time. And I started believing that, you know. It sort of detracted from playing two instruments at the same time. Either one of them will suffer.
And in Australia, well, they'd seen it all before.
I think coming to Australia and playing didge and finding that it wasn't really interesting as well, to a certain extent, for Australians to see that little bit of circus. So they sort of went, yeah, he's playing DJ, so what? You know? Whereas if it was in Canada or if it was in Europe, they're going, oh, wow, look at that. It's a didge player. He's playing that weird instrument as well. What is he doing?
Lalia has a lot of the trappings of New Age music. The name comes from an Australian Aboriginal tribe's name for the Dreamtime. The liner notes of their album, Just a Like River, sign off with the Buddhist mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. And the title of their new album, The Middle Way, is a Buddhist reference as well.
I don't know if it is a Buddhist reference. I think Jim was talking more about how the mind can make images or can make things up out of nothing. So whether it be looking at the clouds and seeing dragons forming, or whether it can be creating a story out of nothing, I think that's more what your reference was for.
When Melissa talks about Lalia's music, it has a meditative ring to it.
Maybe it brings a centeredness, and I'd like to think some mindfulness, and that when people listen to it, that they can relax and come into that inner space that brings peace and joy, I would hope.
Yet, they don't want to be called New Age.
You've heard the album, Jim. It's not really in that category. It's just whatever comes out of my fury, you know, and anger sometimes, if it's not always, you know, a center of peace. But it might be, you know, conveyed as something that is quite relaxing for the listener. But for the writer, no. Thank you.
You can enter the storm of LaLia's latest album, their first in 15 years. It's called The Middle Way, but it is definitely not middle of the road. Thanks for tuning in to the Echoes podcast today. For more great interviews like this, become a member of Echoes Online. That's where you can hear Echoes on demand with our iPhone and Droid apps. Go to echoes.org to find out more. I'm John DiLiberto. Be sure to keep an eye out for more Echoes interviews at echoes.org or the Echoes newsletter.